and that peace before God the Father. Freedom from anxiety, freedom from worry, freedom from that anxiousness. Contentment and real quietness of heart.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. It's always our delight to have you listen in, but it's also a delight to have you call in, join in the dialogue and discussion as we have this broadcast for you, our listener, to be able to get in, says some call it, put in your 2 cents worth. Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Listen, in Psalms 11, verse 3, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What foundations are we talking about for America, if we apply it in that sense? What kind of foundations, the moral, ethical, biblical values that we have, the foundation that formed our nation, the foundation that our founding fathers spoke so much about in the Declaration of Independence, in the what we call the writings of the founding fathers, and with the Constitution that we have today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article from the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. It says, U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson has once again emphasized the importance of America's biblical foundation, urging the nation to return to the values rooted in the Scripture. A longtime Christian who has frequently spoken about the role of faith in public life, Johnson believes America's greatest need is not merely political or economic renewal, but spiritual renewal through Jesus Christ. His message echoes the biblical call for humility, repentance, seeking God during times of national uncertainty. And he quotes in the Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's my position today, ladies and gentlemen, and I pray that you will call in. I'd love to know, have you registered? Are you ready to vote? Have you vetted the candidates? Do you know who you're going to vote for in November? Or who you're going to vote for on a statewide level, local and state level, on August the 18th? Coming up in about 3 weeks, in about 3 months, we'll have that, I believe, the most sequential, most consequential, that is, the most consequential election in my lifetime. And I'm still under 100 years old, but I believe it's going to be the point of demarcation as to whether or not America continues to be a constitutional republic. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the meat of the balance of the broadcast today, let me remind you, this Sunday at 10:45 a.m., pulpit time at First Conservative Baptist Church, I'll be speaking on a subject. And I'm saying this to invite you to come. Be speaking on a subject, Israel, the focus of the world. Why is it Israel is the focus of the world? Why is it the apple of God's eye is detested by most of the world? Why is it that we have most of our socialists, Marxists, communists, Democrats today that's against Israel? Why is it Israel's being blamed for genocide and trying to, in some cases, remove the leadership through the international criminal courts, etc., etc.? Israel, the focus of the world. Sunday morning at 10:45. Looking forward to having you. And then this Thursday, just a couple of days hence, I'll be interviewing the Speaker of the House, Florida House of Representatives, Paul Renner. We'll be talking, we'll be around here at the studio, around the round table, as I call it. We'll have the privilege of you calling in, asking questions. Be prepared. Don't call in with some stupid, if I can say that, crazy fighting question, but ask him, where does he stand on the different issues? Where does he stand on Islam? What will he do about Islam in the state of Florida? Where does he stand about the taxes that's being bounded about now as to whether or not there should be a reduction of property taxes? Where does he stand on these issues that are moral, ethical, biblical issues that every Christian, every conservative, every patriot ought to be concerned about? So I invite you on Thursday to call in, talk with Paul Renner. I'll be interviewing him. We'll have a lively interview tomorrow with the former District 1 Congressman for the state of Florida, Mike Hill. So tomorrow we'll be interviewing Mike and talking about some of these issues that should concern us. And then, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, Sunday morning, 10:45, join us at First Conservative Baptist Church, Israel, the focus of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, will the church survive? Marshall and I just had a pretty good round of discussion about, yes, the church, the real church, will survive, but it be because of the rapture of the church. But in this world, where according to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the scripture warns us that perilous times shall come. That's dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, deadly times, and we're entering into those times. When you look at Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24 and 25 is a dual representation of the eschatological prophetic text that God's given us. Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21 are visible text that's very, very similar in nature. But it talks about those things that will take place before the rapture of the church, those things that will take place before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things we see today, pestilences, that's diseases, terrible times will take place. We're in the midst of it. But in the midst of it, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing what I would say ought not to be taking place. We ought not to have, as we talk about enemies within America, the socialist Islamics, the socialist jihadists, the socialist Marxists, and the communists that are within the Democratic Party. Do you realize the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party have embraced, fully embraced, the Islamic jihadist movement? They see nothing wrong with what they're doing. They see nothing wrong with, as it was called earlier, with AOC and Ilhan Omar and Mondumi, that's there in, as the mayor of New York. They see nothing wrong with it. They've embraced this. I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen, says, the Democratic Socialist of America just adopted a radical new platform. Now, bear with me as I read a portion of a couple of paragraphs and then give you a list of what they're proposing to do to America. Early this month, the Democratic Socialists of America's top leadership met for an in-person meeting of their National Political Committee. They titled the meeting, Workers Deserve More. They're talking about abolishing the forces of capitalistic states. They're talking about abolishing, defunding the Department of War. Give amnesty to all immigrants. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize with the immigrants that have recently come in through the open borders with Sleepy Joe, Autopen Biden, had some 20, 25 million that crossed the borders illegally? Do you realize that before that, what's called those that are here that have been here for years and years and years, given birth to sons and daughters but never were naturalized as citizens, we have probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 million undocumented people in the United States of America. So they're giving amnesty to all immigrants, replacing the president and the Supreme Court with an executive and judiciary chosen by and subordinate to Congress. Further, they say, a provision explicitly names Jerusalem as the capital of the Palestinian state. Further, it says they have, they talk about now the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. The Socialist Marxist, it's called now the Democratic Socialist of America, has revolutionary aspirations. Draft a new constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand the breadth and the depth of that, the severity of it, the danger of it. Create a democratic socialist republic. The document makes very clear that achieving this vision would require, quote, they're saying the communist, socialist communist, which are now major mega part of the Democratic Party as we know it. They say it would require building a new society from the ground up, accompanied by sweeping structural and cultural changes, political and economic changes, full public financing for campaigns, the abolition of the Electoral College vote, alongside the establishment of public ownership. Listen, public ownership of the largest corporate entities in America, essential industries to ensure democratic control and accountability. Ladies and gentlemen, that's full-fledged socialist, communist, Marxism. Marxism, socialism, or simply communism light. And that's the full-fledged statement. And they say, and strict regulations on investment properties. They also will defund the Department of War. They will close the overseas bases, military bases, end all economic sanctions, would include those states like Iran, China, Cuba, Russia, etc. The platform further endorses universal amnesty for illegal immigrants and ending all restrictions on marriage. That means you could have 3 wives, 10 wives as the Islamics. Why would they want to end restrictions on marriage? Simply to accommodate the Islamic jihadist Sharia law as found in the Quran. You know, Muhammad was a totally illiterate, couldn't read or write. And yet we have a lot of folks today around the world that believe that Muhammad wrote the Quran. The Quran, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is a fabrication. There's nothing, there's no chronology, there's no reality, it's just the fabrication. In fact, Muhammad himself told his wife, Khadija, that was a widower, a Jewish widow, rich, wealthy Jewish widow woman that he married. When he told her that demons were speaking to him, she said, shh, don't tell people, our rich friends won't have anything to do with us. Muhammad, ladies and gentlemen, did not write the Quran. The Quran is a demonic book. Allah is a false god. Muhammad is a false prophet, and yet somehow, some way, we have 1 billion-plus people following that ideology, believing that somehow it's a religion. American political system has been deceived into believing that Islam is a religion. It is not a religion. It's ideology. And in that ideology, ladies and gentlemen, it is the mosque becomes the war room, the weapons room, the place to plan and strategize on how to take a nation. In fact, recently one imam just said, we will take America either by bullets or the ballot box. That's the mindset of the Islamic jihadist. And here's the headline that says it better than I could. Importing people that hate America, radical Islam is infiltrating the entire Democratic Party. It goes on to talk about the Democrats have nominated a Nazi, an Al-Qaeda terrorist. The Democratic Party has fetishized Islamic terrorism. May I say, I'm thankful to find some of our legislators, one of them being Representative Randy Fine, Republican in Florida. He lives down in Leeds out of South Florida. He and Chip Roy out of Texas have put together a formula. They call it No Sharia Law in America. They now have about 60 ardent followers in that movement out of about 30 states across America. And it's my prayer that they'll continue to grow that number. This article is very, very clear talking about that. Fine compared the major religions, saying Christianity and Judaism allows freedom of religion. Islam does not. When your civil rights groups and terrorist threats of America, when your top political leaders like Rashid Tlaib, Zohan Mandami, and others, Ilhan Omar and others, people who downplay radical Islam, you have lost the battle. And ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing and watching today the downplay of the enemies that are within. I talked about on the broadcast yesterday about the enemies that are already within. It's not a matter of them coming in, they're already in. There's a vast difference between the Declaration of Independence and the Communist Manifesto, a vast difference. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset somehow, some way, that there's no difference in the Communist Manifesto. Listen, socialism was tried in the church in the first century. Hear me well. According to the text in Acts, the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 32 and following. And the multitude of them, speaking of the believers, that believed were of one heart out of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught the aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Ladies and gentlemen, without reading the balance of the chapter and then getting into the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, I just read Acts chapter 4, verse 32. In the first century church, there was a mindset, we're going to share everything. I've got a garden of fresh tomatoes. I'm going to grow it. You're going to come in and help me cultivate it. We'll harvest it. Then we'll share that in all of our homes. Another one says, well, I've got a garden. I've got corn. And we're going to grow it and cultivate it. And everybody's going to help cultivate it. Everybody's going to help crop it. And then we'll share that in all of our homes. We're going to have a fat pig that we're going to barbecue. We're going to get him all ready. We'll skin him and cut him up and cook it, and everybody can eat around the table. We'll all have some. It didn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. The mindset was perhaps right. The heart was perhaps right. We didn't want any. They didn't want anybody to go hungry or without. But you know what happened? It is the indelible, fundamental foundation of what happens in all socialism, all Marxism, all communism. Some people worked and cultivated the garden. Same people worked and harvested the garden. The same people worked in preparing it and putting it on the table. But everybody then came together to eat the meal and to share the crops and to share the goods. Some wanted to sit and watch and participate in the goodies, but didn't want to do any work. Ladies and gentlemen, that's socialism, Marxism, communism today. You've got those that are advocating for that. They're worth millions. They have millions. Bernie Sanders, for example, has got several million dollars, hundreds of million dollars, several major mega million dollar mansions, and he's talking about the oligarchs and how we need to stop the wealthy people from getting the wealth. And he's one of the wealthy ones. That's what happens in socialism and Marxism and communism. Those that are wealthy, those that are powerful, they're sitting at the top of the triangle or the pyramid, and they rule and reign, and everybody else becomes slave servants to the system. And history passed. I believe Derby's on the line. Go ahead, Derby, with your question or comment. Derby, are you there? We must have lost Derby. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, will the church survive? Will the church survive? There's a need today for us to recognize that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christians, the conservatives, the patriots, we hold the keys to the future of America. And it means voting. Means vetting the candidate, means knowing what is taking place and standing against the evil. I'm looking at another headline that says, Islamification becomes public enemy number one. The quote here is from Randy Fine. Randy Fine, the representative out of South Florida, found many of his constituents view that the rise of Islamification and Islam rule as the top concern. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that that should be a concern for every Christian, every conservative, every patriot in America today, and of the sound of my voice. Headline says, Sharia Free America. Why political Islam and Sharia law are incompatible with the U.S. Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just do some play pretends for a moment. If Islamic jihadists win the battle and they win the dominance of the election in November, what will we see? Women will be slaves. Women will have no liberties. Women will simply be sex toys in America, as they are now in every Islamic nation. Freedom even to go into the public will be restricted for women if the Islamic jihadists win control. There will be forced to wear full body cover, the hijab that leaves only the eyes to be seen. Sharia law, that's Quran, will be required in every home, every school, every house, every political agenda. Everything will be based on Sharia law out of the Quran. Look at the UK, look at Europe today, look at all of England today, look at London today, and you'll get a good picture of what Islamic control means. And it's gotten to the point in all of the UK, they can no longer control the Sharia law being implemented. And that's where it's headed in America, lest we stop it at the ballot box. I believe Derby's on the line. Go ahead, Derby, with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, the question is, you said that Muhammad did not write the Quran.
That's right.
So the question is, who wrote it, and when was the Quran first published as a whole book?
It's never been considered a whole book. Right after Muhammad's death, they set up what they called the caliph system. The caliphs would come in and be in control. There was a battle over who was going to be the next caliph. Some caliphs killed others in order to be elevated, almost like our popery system and Roman Catholicism today. That was the system after Muhammad's death. And each caliph that would come into power, he would call in the then-known written Qurans and bring them in and burn them. And supposedly Allah, the false god, would speak to the new caliph and give him new writings. There's no chronology in the Quran. All of the 114 surahs, chapters as it would be called, are there as a result of supposedly Allah speaking to the caliph, and they would write it down. Muhammad couldn't write. What is called the musings and sayings of Muhammad, the hadith, 9 volumes in English print, 9 full volumes, hardbound. I have them on my shelf. 9 volumes called the Hadith. Musings and sayings. Supposedly, it came about by the clan, Muhammad's clan. They'd sit around the fire at night. They'd talk about the next wagon train they're going to rob and kill everybody on it and take all the booty. That's how they made the money. He put together a 10,000-man army when he was chased out of Medina into Mecca because of his what he was doing. But they would sit down and listen to Muhammad's diatribe, and supposedly his clan would then take notes and write it down, and that combination became what's called the hadith today, the musings and sayings of Muhammad. But the Quran itself was a compilation of supposedly what Allah was telling to the caliphs as they would write it down. It came about after Muhammad's death. Muhammad's death was, I believe, in 632, 633, 634, someplace in there. And he was, in fact, he told, I've said this before, he told Khadija, his very wealthy Jewish widow wife, that the demons were speaking to him. And she said, "Oh, don't tell our friends, because we'll never have any wealthy friends to have anything to do with us again." But the long and short of it is, the Quran is a fabricated book, just as we find today in Mormonism, that which was supposed to be given by the golden tablets that were then translated and came into the Book of Mormon. That was all from a demonic source, nothing to do with God, godliness, or anything that we would call spirituality. It's the Quran.
The question is,
go ahead.
The question is, how many years, when did these caliphs meet after Muhammad's death?
It was almost immediately after that. There was a fight over the throne, if you will. Fight over who was going to take the leadership. And almost like our political system today, there's a fight over who's going to run for this office, that office. There's a fight over who's going to be in control now, whether it's going to be the jihadist or the communist in the Democratic Party. But it was, I don't have the exact date. It was shortly after Muhammad's death, and that was in about 632, 633.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at a headline again. I touched on it a moment ago, Sure Free America. My question is, my comment is, what I would like to fill in the blanks on is simply this. If the Islamic jihadists were to take control, and they're on the fast track, listen, don't say it's an impossibility. I've heard too many politicians say, no, the Islam can never take over America. They're doing a good job at it now. State after state after state, city, county elections. They claim that they've got over 1,100 Islamic candidates running at this very moment for the November 3rd election in America, local, state, and national elections are being run. But ladies and gentlemen, if they win, women will become just sex slaves. Women will become those that are used by the Islamic men and nothing else. They'll be forced to wear full body cover. Sharia law, called the Quran, will be required for every home, every school. In fact, right now, they've just passed legislation, ladies and gentlemen, in California, where Sharia law, the Quran, is then mandated to be taught in the public school system, including teaching the kids in public school how to convert to Islam. Did you hear that? Did you understand what I just said? That's what has taken place there. And ladies and gentlemen, any dissent, any objection to Sharia law, any objection to what the Quran says, will be met with force, just as in the UK, just a year ago, a Christian pastor happened to post on social media some question in the negative sense about Sharia law and Islam in the UK. He was caught, tried, convicted, prosecuted, convicted, and sentenced to 4 years in prison for just questioning Sharia law in the UK. That's where we'll be headed on the fast track if we're not careful in this election. When I say careful, I mean extremely careful as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. Don't listen to the lie, but dig down under and vet the candidate and know where the candidate stands, and then vote for the candidate that's going to boast, honor God. Not saying he has to be a Christian, but will honor God by honoring the fundamental foundation, morals, ethics, and values that built America. That's the foundation. But if the Islamic jihadists are in charge, there'll be no church. There'll be no Christian. There'll be no Bible. There'll be no Christian books. No evangelism allowed. No freedom of religion. No freedom of speech. And ladies and gentlemen, almost the identical thing if the socialist, Marxist, communist gain influence in America. I'm looking at a headline that's very, very clear as to what will take place in America if we fail to recognize the dangers that loom before us. Great Britain has been taken over. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, in anti-communist speech, Marco Rubio says far-left political terrorism is driven by the hatred of our civilization. Hear me, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, said the anti-communist, in his anti-communist speech, far-left political terrorism is driven by hatred for civilization itself. During an unprecedented speech hosted by representatives of numerous governments built on a coalition against political terrorism, Secretary of State Marco Rubio spoke out against the surge in the far-left terrorism that is claiming victims around the world and called on the present work in the United States to stop the perpetration of that in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that you joined us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
And president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others.
In the animated movie Animal Farm, now on video, director